Hello, friends, and welcome to Everyday Truth with Kurt Skelly. We're here to show that the Bible is relevant to your life every single day, and we're glad you joined us here for the conversation. We're studying the book of Romans and learning how the power of the gospel impacts every part of our lives. Now, let's join Kurt for today's episode.
Hello, my friends. Welcome back to today's episode. We're in Romans chapter number 13, and we're talking a bit about human government, the fact that God has ordained human government, and therefore we as believers have a responsibility to obey human government and to be great examples of Jesus in the country in which we live. And it's marvelous to think that here in our Everyday Truth family, we have people listening from all over the world. We have a number of different countries represented by the podcast. Of course, many of you are fellow Americans, but we have Australians, and we have Englishmen, we have Frenchmen, we have people in Israel, we have people literally Canadians all around the world that are listening to this podcast, and I appreciate your faithfulness. Watch what the Bible says in verse number 3, where Paul continues his discussion on obedience and subjection in the government realm, verse number 3. For I say, through the grace, I'm reading the wrong chapter. Verse number 3 of chapter 13 would help. Here we go. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to the evil. Wilt thou then not be afraid of the power? Do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same. So, obviously, as the Apostle Paul talks about government, he talks about government in its rightful application. Does that mean that governments are always a terror to evil works and always a help and encouragement to good works? No. Why? Because governmental positions are filled by people that are sinners. And we can all talk about horrific examples of governmental abuse throughout history, and not even throughout history, even today. So understand that all of what we're saying is in the caveat of obey the higher powers, and in the caveat of governments aren't always going to fulfill their God-given responsibility. However, there is much that we can learn from what the Apostle Paul says about the proper use of and employment of government. So let's look at it from this angle for a moment, and that is, how should a government, what would be an ideal way, generally speaking, by which for government to fulfill its duty? Well, verse number 3 is a great answer to that, because it says in verse 3, rulers are not a terror to good works, but to the evil. So a government properly run, a government that is going to be effective, is a government that is going to punish evil doing and reward good doing. And that's a proper function of government. Well, there was this whole defund the police movement a couple years ago, which I just thought was the most inane campaign I've ever heard of in my life. Why? Because one of the legitimate roles of government is to do just that, to punish evildoers, to root out crime, to bring crime to expeditious judgment, to deal with it as a deterrent to future crime, and also to promote good works. So government has a rightful obligation when it comes to those responsibilities. Look at what it goes on to say in verse 3. Wilt thou then not be afraid of the power? There ought to be a healthy fear in the heart of every citizen that if I do wrong, I am going to be punished by an authority that is greater than I. You know, I can't just do what I want to do. Some of what we're seeing in our society is outlandish. Teenagers going into grocery stores or drugstores or Targets or Walmarts and just taking things off the shelf and not being prosecuted because they didn't steal enough and security guards doing nothing about it and police officers not even responding to the call because we just don't have that is dangerous. It's dangerous when a government is unwilling to deal with evildoers. I like what the writer of Ecclesiastes said. And he said, because judgment is not executed speedily, it is fully set in the hearts of men to do evil. So a government ought to be having laws that protect good works and punish evil works and crimes against each other. And the way by which people should be prosecuted and dealt with should be expeditious so that there is a legitimate deterrent on the part of those that are punished for these evil deeds. So what is verse 3? Verse 3 is a great example of what government should be when it comes to law enforcement and prosecution of crime. Look at verse number 3 again. Wilt thou then not be afraid of the power? Do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same. So a government has a job on the negative side to punish evildoers, law enforcement, prosecutor, the attorney general's office, all of that. But also government has a responsibility to fertilize, to praise, to promote good. So in that sense, government has a moral obligation to promote that which is good and to punish that which is evil. That's why it becomes so upsetting and concerning in our country, and I can only speak for myself, and that is when we see a country that is not exercising punishment of evil doing and is not promoting good, but is promoting evil. So in these situations, yes, insofar that we can't obey, we do, but insofar that we can involve ourselves in a democracy or a democratic republic to help shape and change those policies, we certainly ought to do that because we want to see government operate in its proper scope. Look at verse number 4. For he, the government official, and in this case, the law enforcement officer or prosecutor, is the minister of God to thee for good. Remember, authority comes from God. But if thou do that which is evil, be afraid. There ought to be a natural fear in the hearts of men when they do what's wrong. You ought to be afraid if you steal something. You ought to be afraid if you murder somebody. You ought to be afraid if you cheat. You ought to be afraid if you do something that you know violates the law of the land. You ought to be afraid. And the Bible says that that's a healthy fear. For he, the government official, beareth not the sword in vain. That's actually a reference to the most strict of punishments, and that is capital punishment. The sword here refers to execution or capital punishment. Paul died by the sword. James, the brother of John, died by the sword. And the Bible says he beareth not the sword in vain, but for he is the minister of God, a revenger to execute wrath upon him that doeth evil. Remember, the Bible said at the end of chapter 12 that it is not our personal responsibility or prerogative to exercise vengeance. Like somebody did something to my family, I'm going to be a vigilante justice and I'm going to go take care of this. You know, let the government take care of it. The government has a vested responsibility before God to bring the vengeance, to bring justice upon a crime that has been committed. And so we are to allow the system, allow the process to do its work. And I know that as soon as I say that, you're thinking, yeah, but there have been so many abuses. And absolutely, there's going to be abuse in any kind of government because government is populated by sinners. But the point here, just like there's going to be abuses within families and within churches, where somebody didn't do me right or a decision was made wrongly. The whole point here is that if we are looking for perfection in authority, then we'll never submit to authority. The point is that we need to understand authority and obey authority insofar that authority is not causing us knowingly to violate the higher law of God. We've come back to that a couple times. Verse number 5, wherefore ye must needs be subject. So based upon what we've talked about, be a good citizen, be a law-abiding citizen, and then watch the reason in verse number 5. Watch the reason. Not only for wrath, not only because if I do wrong, I'm going to get punished. If the only reason why you obey in any context, whether that be church or family, the home or government, is because I just don't want bad things to happen to me. I just don't want to go to jail. I don't want to be punished. I don't want to have to pay the fine. If the only reason we do right is because we don't want punishment, that's a pretty superficial reason. So the Bible says, not only for wrath, verse number 5, but, see that, verse 5, but also for conscience sake, because we know it's the right thing to do. Because we want to have a clean conscience with ourselves and with the Lord. And we need to come back to obedience for conscience sake. Why? Because when I obey for conscience sake, then I'm going to obey when no one's looking. I'm going to obey when no one else knows. Why? Because I live with myself and I know my conscience and I live with my God and my God knows what I'm thinking. And so we obey not just because, well, somebody might catch me, because a lot of times someone doesn't catch you. No, we obey for conscience sake. And that's a much higher reason for obedience, is it not? Look at verse number 6. For this cause, pay ye tribute also. This is why you pay taxes. For they are God's ministers. I mean, police officers have to receive a salary, and firefighters and government officials and mayors and senators, and we give taxes to support the system of authority. Then the Bible says, attending continually upon this very same thing, render therefore, very famous verse, verse 7, render therefore to all their dues. This is what you owe to them. Tribute to whom tribute is due. Custom to whom custom, like the various fees for port charges or tolls on the highway and things that we hate, right? Fear to whom fear, that's proper respect. And deference, honor to whom honor. Nothing wrong with being patriotic. Nothing wrong with honoring one's country or saluting one's flag. Nothing wrong with that as long as that does not displace my dedication and devotion to God. And when one comes in conflict with the other, it's the God flag that should always win. So some good practical verses about being a good citizen in the country in which God has allowed you to dwell, so that through that obedience, through that deference, and through that prayer for your leadership, God can use you as salt and light in whatever country you live. So we'll stop there, verse number 7. We'll come back to verse number 8 next time. Hope you'll join us. God bless you, my friends.
Thanks for taking time to listen. If you enjoy Everyday Truth, take a moment to subscribe or share the podcast with a friend. Until next time, God bless.